Welcome again to another one of our little podcasts. I thank you for tuning in today on the third Thursday in Advent, the December 20th, 2018 readings. We're going over the Advent preparations for the Nativity celebration that we remember, basically cheering up Christ's birthday. And we are looking at the specific verses today that are found in the Mass readings of today and the second reading from the Office of Reading to help us get a full idea of what the Church is trying to present to us on this day. And with not too much more ado, I want to dive in. The first reading is a reading from the book of Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign from the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary men? Must you also weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel," the word of the Lord. Let the Lord enter, he is the King of glory. Let the Lord enter, he is the King of glory. The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and all who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Let the Lord enter, he is the King of glory. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. Let the Lord enter, he is the King of glory. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. Let the Lord enter, he is the King of glory. Alleluia, alleluia. O key of David, opening the gates of God's eternal kingdom, come and free the prisoners of darkness. Alleluia, alleluia. And the gospel is a gospel according to Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall be of no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born shall be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived and bore a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And the second reading from the Office of Readings for today is from a homily in praise of the Virgin Mother by St. Bernard, an abbot. "You have heard, O Virgin, that you will conceive and bear a son. You have heard it will not be by man, but by the Holy Spirit. The angel awaits an answer. It is time for him to return to God who sent him. We too are waiting, O Lady, for your word of compassion. The sentence of condemnation weighs heavily upon us. The price of our salvation is offered to you. We shall be set free at once if you consent. In the eternal word of God, we all came to be, and behold, we die. In your brief response, we are to be remade in order to be recalled to life. Tearful Adam, with his sorrowing family, begs this of you, O loving Virgin. In their exile from paradise, Abraham begs it. David begs it. All the other holy patriarchs, our ancestors, asked it of you, as they dwell in the country of the shadow of death. This is what the whole earth waits for, prostrate at your feet. It is right in doing so, for on your word depends the comfort of the wretched, ransom for the captive, freedom for the condemned, indeed salvation for all the sons of Adam, the whole of your race. Receive quickly, O virgin, reply in haste to the angel, or rather, through the angel to the Lord. Answer with a word, receive the word of God. Speak your own word, conceive the divine word. Breathe a passing word, embrace the eternal word. Why do you delay? Why are you afraid? Believe, give praise, and receive. Let humility be bold, let modesty be confident. This is no time for virginal simplicity to forget prudence. In this matter alone, O prudent virgin, do not fear or be presumptuous. Though modest silence is pleasing, dutiful speech is now more necessary. Open your heart to faith, O blessed virgin, your lips to praise, your womb the Creator. See, the desire of all nations is at your door, knocking to enter. If he should pass by because of your delay, in sorrow, you would begin to seek him afresh, the one whom your soul loves. Arise, hasten, open. Arise in faith, hasten in devotion, open in praise and thanksgiving. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, she says, be it done unto me according to your word. There's a lot to unpack here today, and one of the things that kind of jumps out at me is the simple conversation that was going on in social media not too long ago, where a certain professor basically said that when Mary became the mother of God, she didn't have her choice of will, so it was like a rape, trying to equivalate the whole Annunciation event to some kind of forced thing that God put on a woman, and as kind of a sign of how patriarchal society afflicts women. But if we really read this as it's supposed to be, we can't really come away with it, because she's given time to give her answer. And her answer is given when she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. Nothing happened before that moment. And this is what St. Bernard's talking about in this second reading from the Office of Reading, and kind of highlighting for us today, is that Mary had to make a choice. And it's in her choice and in her submission of her will that she cooperated with the grace of God and can be seen as a co-mediatrix, as the church defines her. It's not that she herself saved us on her own without God's intervention and took the place of God. It is just merely that showing that each one of us have a need, a desire, a specific task that we need to fulfill for God to truly be sons and daughters of God and truly forward his agenda in the world. In understanding it, that's why, as St. Bernard points out, the price of our salvation was offered to Mary. She was free to give her consent. She could have said no. And that's kind of the main point about grace. Even though it's always grace that saves a person, as we kind of discussed yesterday when we were talking about the miraculous births of John the Baptist, of Samson, and of Jesus, that all these miraculous births point to the simple fact that we ourselves cannot save ourselves, that Mary couldn't save herself per se, but we'd still have to cooperate and give our consent. We have to cooperate with grace. This is where in Paul's writings, he talks about us being co-laborers with Christ, how we're also ambassadors for him. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 4 when he talks about that, and how everything we do is a labor of love with him. We are, as he would say in Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, because we give ourselves freely to that offering on the cross. We give ourselves freely to be a part of that ministry. So this is kind of the whole thing that's being called into play here, is this side of it that's our cooperation with the work of God. And it is a work of God, a work that begins with Christ on the cross. Because as the Alleluia verse points out, he is the key of David. Now, why is he the key of David? Because he unlocks heaven's door. He is that Messiah that allows us to come in. The sign of this miraculous key is the fact that it is a virgin birth that comes about, that she doesn't know a man. She's not sexually promiscuous. She's not running around with five other guys. She's just simply a little girl in Nazareth that truly wants to be a good person. And I say little girl because most scholars would say she was in her early teens. Back in those days, early teens were basically given in marriage. As soon as they were of age to be able to carry a child, they were considered mothers. And a lot of that was just simply because the average age was somewhere around 30 for a good majority of the people. And people didn't live as they do today. So there's those kind of things that go into play here. As we kind of look into the scriptures a little bit more and to understand what's going on in this interplay, we look and we see how the angel comes and presents this reality to Mary. He basically tells her, this here's what I'm here for. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Basically starting out the Hail Mary. And telling her that you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he's to be named Jesus. This is kind of a reflection of what Joseph will be told after this event when he has his dream that's recorded in Matthew chapter 1. It's basically a reminder of what it is. So we get set up with, at this point in Advent, we're really looking forward to the Christmas event, the Nativity event, and really celebrating that and seeing how it affects us. As we saw yesterday in the Office of Reading selection, that the whole idea of Christ being born in the flesh was so that we would have a benefit. It is a benefit that he was one of us, that he took on to us, our nature, so that we could be saved. And this here is kind of the hinge point, if you will, of everything that we know about our salvation, because we're not looking to create salvation in and of ourselves. As the Apostle Paul tells us, inside of us there dwells no good thing. But it's basically because Jesus Christ himself was appointed by God to be a high priest, and that he also has a flesh and blood body, that he's able to be a priest in the sense of what we need. We're told in Scripture, the reason why is because in his time being in the flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications so that he can save us through his godly fear and through his obedience, so that we can all come to an eternal salvation by obedience to him. He basically makes it possible whereby which you and I can live a sinless life. And this is kind of the whole point of the salvation of God that's being presented to us in the Gospels and in the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. When we think about what is man from the Psalm, I believe it's Psalm, Psalm 102 that basically says, is that 102? Let me think for a second. I think it's actually Psalm 110. Let me look this up. Psalm 110 basically asks the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the answer of that is just simply that man is someone that God loves. Is kind of the simple answer to the question. I'm trying to get this over here. Psalm 105, 110. Let's see here. Nope, not that one. Which one is that? No, it's... Oh, Psalm 8. See what happens when you read a good concordance, where it basically tells you what is man. Let me try to get over here to it. I should have had this written down earlier. I'll correct that in future podcasts, but just trying to give you a little bit more. But it's kind of giving you this understanding that because God takes thought of us, there's something special about each one of us. A lot of us don't have that understanding as we should, but we need to. Because when we consider the, here it is, Psalm 8, verse 3, when you consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the sun, the moon, and the stars that you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Now it's in this visiting that we come into our salvation moment, because as the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, he says, hey, you're going to conceive and bear a child. The child that you're to conceive will be the son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, he says. And this is just reminding us that it is God himself who wants to be among us when the Holy Spirit dwells upon her. Because as she opens her lips and says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, in her womb the Creator starts becoming a human person, taking up her physical nature just like any other child would, and basically be born. It also speaks, if you will, about how we understand the nature of life and when a person is a person. Because Jesus was a child in the womb of Mary, even though she was the material, if you want to kind of look at it on kind of a basic, simple method, that his body was formed of, it was his body, not hers, in the womb. A lot of people will try to argue the point and say, well, it's still her body, she has control over it. But there comes a point where you have to realize the answer to that question is going to be no. A lot of people put it off until after birth, which, you know, I can understand that, because then you can actually see it's a different human person, and there's a responsibility that adults have to children in taking care of them. But if we look scripturally, that care began in the womb. It began with Mary in this 6 month when Elizabeth was with child, that the angel Gabriel stopped and talked to Mary. So we get this being told here. It's generally a feast day for celebration. The Annunciation is in March. It's March 25th. There are times when it's pushed back into May, and that's into April, because of Holy Week taking precedence over that particular event. And it kind of has its own implications into how we understand salvation. But we also recall, when we start reading these scriptures, especially the gospel scripture, that we're reminded of Mary's unique place in that thing. Once again, she made a decision to be a part of the Christian community, to actually be the mother of God. And it was her who had to consent. And we get these when we had the Immaculate Conception feast day, when we had the Our Lady of Guadalupe feast day, because we remind ourselves of how Mary is important, and it reminds us of how you and I can be important. In fact, as we look at the Psalm 24, that's the response hymn, it asks the question, who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only individuals who are sinless, who haven't done sinful deeds, whose hearts are clean, and desires not what is vain. This is what our whole lives are about. This is what our perfection is about. We need to keep working and battling and getting through life and struggling until we get to that point of actually having victory. So there's a whole lot of that that's kind of underneath the surface here that we need to recognize, is that we do need to confess our faith and be more the kind of people that God needs us to be, so that we can transform the world and really be the kind of disciples that God's looking for. Now, is that an easy task? No, it's not, because the simple fact is, just in the case of Mary, you and I can basically say no. That's why grace can be rejected. It's not an irresistible grace, as Calvin once described. A lot of people in Protestantism thinks that you get saved because God forces you to be saved. And this goes back to the whole misunderstanding of the Incarnation, or the Annunciation event, because Mary did have a choice. She could say no. She could have told that angel to just pack his bags and go somewhere, but she didn't. She accepted that particular thing, that particular calling to be a mother of God. And because of that, she's blessed, and we're blessed, and we have a whole bunch of other blessings that come about as a result. So these are kind of the things to unpack today, and I don't want to go too long into this. But I do want you to at least have this in your mind as you go forward, that The creation event was an amazing thing where God created man out of the dust of the ground and wanted to dwell among us. This is kind of the thing that I keep coming back to when I'm thinking of Genesis chapter 1, where it says, "Let us make man in our image." The hour is both God as a spirit and God as the human man, Jesus Christ, and therefore the dust of the ground and a spirit kind of fulfills both of those. And there's also a character thing that fulfills those. And because of that, he could have done the same thing in saving us. But instead, he came into our sinful created selves, the nature just like you and I come into the world by being conceived in a womb and born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. And that has some great implications for how we are able to really understand him. In fact, the psalmist says that the reward, it comes from God our Savior, because such is the race that seeks him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob, because we're looking to see this child that's coming. We have this expected hope, not just of the nativity event that's going to happen in a couple days, and the celebration at Christmas with friends and family. We're also looking forward to his soon coming at the end of time. But we're not only limited to those two, we're also looking to how he comes to us in our daily lives, because it's in our lives that we want his word to be fulfilled. And like Mary, we too can be servants who say, "Be it done unto me according to your word." So we need to have all this kind of in our mind as we go forward and understand that the whole idea of who Christ is and who we are as Jesus Christ is simply because we accept the grace and we work and cooperate with it every day. And in that sense, Christ is born in us. We are formed into his image in a true nativity way and truly experience this born-again experience where we too are crucified with Christ. Yet it is not us who lives, but Christ who lives in us, because that is our hope of glory. So hopefully this has been a blessing to you, and you can take this into your day and really get an understanding of what we're looking forward to and why we celebrate Christmas the way we do and why we have this season of Advent that prepares us for that particular coming. And if this has been a blessing to you, I hope you'll at least consider donating $5 each month to this particular podcast to keep it supported and allow us to be able to reach others with the message of the gospel. But if other than that, do hope that you listen to us every day and at least download us so that we at least get the downloads. And outside of that, I hope you do have a very blessed day.